Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov. Hey, we're on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. So let's just review. So we know we have Rav Huna. Rav Huna is the most extreme lechumra, and he says that these tzilos and shmona, that apostle for Shabbos, apostle for Chanukah, both on Chol and on Shabbos. We have the middle shita called the compromise shita of Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda is of the opinion that although you cannot use these oils, this is on top of Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, for Shabbos, because he holds Mutal Shtamish Liora and you have a Chashash of Shemayata, but during the week of Chanukah, during the Chol of Chanukah, that's fine. Madlikim Ben Bechol. And then we have the sheet of Rav, which is the most extreme sheet of Lekula, that he's going to allow you, even on Shabbos, to use these psils and shmona because there's no gzera shabiyata, also lishtamesh liora. When this was related to Abaye, he was very hesitant because he didn't think he could rely on Rabbi Yirmiya for this halacha. And then it was said to him in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and then he accepted this. So he gave up on Girsa the Yankas, if you remember. That's what we discussed. Then we had the Tosfos here, which we started. The first Tosfos in the Sugya on Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, Mutal Shtamish Liora. Tosfos says, maybe Rav Huna, when he said that you can't use these oils on Shabbos of Chanukah, had nothing to do with Shemayata, he was just pointing out that the oil is possible for Chanukah, and therefore it's possible straight across the board. So Tosfos says on the top of Chaf Aleph Amid Beis in Kain, Lo Hayat Sarach Le Lememar, he didn't have to say Bein Bechol Bein B'Shabbos. Well, why would we have a Havavina that oils that are disqualified on Chol would all of a sudden become qualified on Shabbos? Came to Chad Taimahu. There's one reason, which is called Kofso Zokaklo. He just should have said Ein Madlikin, and we would have understood if he would have just said the words Ein Madlikin that it applies to both Shabbos and Chol because Kofs is Zakuk Lo, and therefore it's not a valid Hadlokah. But Midakomer Bein Bechol Bein B'Shabbos, why did he go out of his way, Rav Huna, to say whether it's Chol or it's Shabbos? Shma Mino, it must be that he's adding a new reason when he adds Bein B'Shabbos. In addition to the time that applies during the week of Kofsa Zokukla, there's an extra reasoning that applies to a reason to disqualify these oils on Shabbos, and that is because of Mutul Ishtamesh Liora and Shemayat. In Cain, Sover the Mutul Ishtamesh Liora. Miu. Now we get to Ra. Now, why did it, according to Tosfos, you could have made a general statement. In the case of Rav Huna, you could have said, Ein Madlikim Behem. So let's apply the same logic to Rav. Rav could have also used the general terminology. He could have said, Madlikim. He qualifies these oils. So why did Rav have to go out of his way to say, Bein Bechol Ubein B'Shabbos? So Tosfos says, no, Lavi Matzil Mei Madlikim Stam. In the case of Rav, he couldn't have just said Madlikim Bahem, because we would have said, Hava Mina, Dafka Bechol. When does he allow, when is he lenient on Chol? Aval B'Shavis, where we have a problem, Mutul Shtavish Lior and Shemayata, Ein Madlikim, because of Shemayata. Oh. So Tosfos is saying the following, that Rav had to be very outspoken about it. He had to emphasize explicitly that even on Shabbos you're allowed to use these inferior oils, because we would have thought that since Mutul Ishtamish Liora, then on Shabbos we have to be more careful about these oils because of Shemayata. Well, now here I want you to underline the next few words in Tosfos. This is very fascinating. Tosfos says, the Bistama Lo Hayisi Omer Sheshum Adam Yachmir Lesar Lishtamish Liora. So emphasize that word dibistama. And Tosfos is saying the following, that until Rav came onto the scene, we never would have entertained the possibility that also lishtamish liora. Do you hear this, Rav Osai? In our frame of reference today, everybody assumes also lishtamish liora, right? An eres halolu kodeshim. But back in the day, up until Rav, we always assumed that mutal lishtamish liora. You may recall that we had a discussion about this. Why would the intuitive, the knee-jerk response would be the mutal lishtamish liora if there's no bizui mitzvah? Why is that, Rav Osai? Do you remember? We discussed tzitzis, and we discussed the menorah and the mitzvah, and excellent. There's chefter shel mitzvah, chefter shel kedusha. But ner chanukah, like tzitzis, is a chefter shel mitzvah. Chefter shel mitzvah doesn't generate an isul lishtamish bo, and that indeed is the opinion of both Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Comes along Rav with a bombastic chiddush, which is revolutionary, that also lishtamish liora. We don't know why. So that's what Tosfos says, bistama. Stama means, if you didn't know otherwise, this is what you would assume. I would never have guessed, I was never anticipated, no one would have anticipated that we should generate an iso lishtamish liora. So memela, we understand logically that mutal ishtamish liora. Now, if it's mutal ishtamish liora, then what problem do we have on Friday night? Shemayata. Oh, so we have a problem on Shemayata. So it would not be sufficient for Rav to tell me that Madlika Behem stama. Just tell me Madlika Behem. We would have no justification for assuming that Rav's Madlika Behem is a heter, is a license for not only during the weekdays of Chanukah, but even Shabbos, that it includes Shabbos as well. We would have said no. On Shabbos is another consideration here, and that's called Shemayata because Mutul Ishtamish Lior. Counsel on Rav with a Gavaldiga Chiddush that we never would have anticipated, and that is that also Ishtamish Lior Shal Ner Chanukah. And I would even add the following. Maybe there's a double Chiddush here. Chiddush number one is that you're not allowed to benefit from Ner Chanukah in any shape or form. That itself is a revolution. But maybe there's another additional Chiddush, and that is that although if he would light a Shabbos candle or any candle with these very same wicks and oils, he would violate the Shavuos of Shabbos. And even though the logic for that is because of Shemayata, would not apply in the case of Ner Chanukah on Leil Shabbos because also Lishtamish Liorim, nevertheless, lo pluk. I would have included as a blanket, the uniform statement that none of these wicks and oils should be lit on Erev Shabbos. Don't tell me whether mutal lishtamish liora or asur lishtamish liora. I'll give you a mashal of my dover dom. Let's say I would light these wicks on Erev Shabbos. They're inferior quality wicks. I would violate the Shabbos. Let's say I have here an oil that's exactly identical, but I took a neder, harei alai shemen zeh asur alai ben neder, that I would have no benefit through the law of neder. Right? Rav Osi, you ever learn a little nedarim? The Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Nedarim says that the difference between a neder and a shvua is that in the case of neder, ka'asar cheftza leh, al nafshe. Whereas the case of a shvua is ka'asar nafshe min hacheftza. So a neder means I can look at an object, right? Can I borrow this for a second? I can look at this object and say, this is asar alai. And once I enunciate those words, it becomes asar min neder. So let's say I take these oils and I say, I raise the Osralai. I'm not allowed to have any benefit from these oils. Would I be allowed to light these oils on Erev Shabbos? Logically, you would say, why not? I mean, after all, there's no chashash of Shemayata. We know he's not going to benefit from the oil. It's also been neder. But you could say, lo pluk. You could say that once the Chachamim say about these oils, that they're included in the shvus of Shemayata, and you're not allowed to light them on Friday night, we're not going to make exceptions. We're not going to look at each particular oil and see whether or not it's mut or it's us. That's going to be a blanket state. Comes along Rav and he says no. When it comes to Chanukah, since the light has the din of asul ishtamish lior b'toras ner Chanukah, it's a different entity. It's a new category. It's not included in the category of stam, of the general category of oils and wicks of this quality. And therefore, it's outside the purview of the gzera of Shemayat. So that's another chiddush of Rav. The two chiddushim of Rav, when he says you're allowed to light on Friday night of Chanukah, a Hanukkah candle of inferior oil. Number one, he's telling you that also l'shtamish liora, which is a radical chiddush in Hilchas Hanukkah, and now he's telling me another chiddush, a chiddush in Hilchas Shabbos, that we will have exceptions to the rule that Ner Hanukkah is not included in the blanket Isur of Shema Yad. Tosfos says v'chein Hilchasa, and we paskin like Rav. Now, why is this a chiddush to say that we paskin like Rav?
Okay, you got 2-1.
Right, exactly. He's outnumbered. So he says, "V'chein hilchasa de ner Chanukah also l'shtamish li'or." Now, how could that be? Yeah, Rav Huna says mutul l'shtamish li'or. Rav Chizda says mutul l'shtamish li'or. Okay, Rav says also l'shtamish li'or. But the Hechad Teis after paskin like Rav. So Tosfos says ukir Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan also accepted the principle of asul l'shtamish li'ora. Now this is a big chiddush, because if you remember when Abayi heard asul l'shtamish li'ora from Rav Yirmiyah, he didn't accept it in his youth. He accepted it when he heard it from Rav Yochanan. But it wasn't clear that Rav Yochanan actually agreed that asul l'shtamish li'ora. Rav Yochanan was only interpreting Rav. Why does Rav allow you to use these inferior quality wicks on Chanukah of Leil Shabbos? The answer is because asul l'shtamish li'ora. Did Rav Yochanan himself commit himself to accept that, to that position, to accept that chumrah? Tosfos says yes. It wasn't just that Rav Yochanan was telling us this is pshat and Rav, but the Rav Yochanan himself came up with this halacha of asul l'shtamish li'ora. So now we have Rav and Rav Yochanan, two first generation Amoraim. Not only that, v'abaye nami kibla, and Abaye accepted asul l'shtamish li'ora. Once he heard it in the name of Rav Yochanan, he accepted it. Well, who cares about Abaye? I mean, after all, if Rav Yochanan said it, then Rav Yochanan has a lot more power than Abaye. So what advantage in Allah does Abaye have over Rav Yochanan? Anybody know what that's called?
Yeah.
I don't know if we have anything here.
Right,
that's called a basra. Well, I don't know about Eretz Yisrael. Maybe you have a different sugya. But the classical sugya is halacha kibasra. What does that mean?
Later.
So you have the first generation with a machlokas, and then you have a later generation, and in that later generation, they pass like one of these two. So that gives extra import and extra weight to the later generation. So if Abaye accepted Rav Yochanan, then even though Rav Huna and Rav Chizda, who were earlier than Abaye, rejected Rav Yochanan, then halacha kibasra. So we now have the following. We have Rav Huna and Rav Chizda holding mutul l'shtamish li'ora. We have Rav and Rav Yochanan hold also l'shtamish li'ora. At this point, we have a stalemate. And now comes along Abaye and he says, I accept Rav Yochanan, and I accept the principle of also l'shtamish li'ora. So Tosfos says, kach hilchasa. And that's how we're going to pass it. If anyone has a Mishnah Berurah here, we can look that up inside. And Tosfos goes on to say the following. Rav Yosef Nami Mashma Lekamon Desvirle Hachi. And it would seem that Rav Yosef also Lekamon later on in the Sugya accepts the principle of Asur L'shtamish Li'ora. Now the problem with this Tosfos is that when he says Lekamon, he doesn't tell you exactly where this Rav Yosef is. So for that we have what's called Biurei HaTosfos here in the back of the Masifta. And he says the following. This is, if you ever get a chance to get a hold of the Masifta, it's on page Dalet, so you'll know where it is. And he says, Lekamon means on Daf Chav Beis. Okay, what happens on Daf Chav Beis? The Gemara wants to know if you're calculating your mos. Oh, thank you so much. This is called, in the Gemara's language, lahartzos mos. You know, there were different coins, and they were very similar. So if you're counting out coins, you need very good illumination to differentiate between one and the other. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rasi, that also lahartzos mos kenegi ner Chanukah, that you're not allowed to use the ner Chanukah for your benefit to differentiate, distinguish between one coin and another. So Shmuel says, "V'chiner kedusha yeshba." So Rabbi say, you don't have this footnote, so I'm going to ask you to open up to Daf Chav Beis for a second. Don't lose the place on Chaval from Beis. But fast forward for just a second to Daf Chaf Beis Omid Al. Chaf Beis. You have it?
Next page.
It's about, I'd say about 12 lines down from the top.
Next page.
Yeah, just flip one page. Okay. You don't have to, you don't even have to get up from your seat. Okay? So if you're counting down about 12 lines from the top of Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, you'll see the first word in the line is Miyamin, and then there's two dots. And then it says, Omer Rav Yudah Omer Rav Asi. Some have the gear, some are Rav, which makes a lot of sense. Also, Lahartzos Mos Keneged Ner Chanukah. You can't use the light of the Ner Chanukah to differentiate between a dollar bill and a $2 bill. Ki Amrisa Kamei Der Shmuel, when this verdict, this rule was presented to Shmuel, Omer, he declared, Omer Lee, he said to me, V'chi Ner Kiddusha Yesh Bo? What's he asking, basically, Shmuel?
Also, Ishtamesh or not?
No, but I'm saying, in Lundus, what's he asking, Michael? Is it a Chepshel Mitzvah, a Chepshel Kedusha? V'chi Ner Kedusha Yesh Bo? He doesn't know the Braisa in Masechet Sofrim that says, HaNer HaSalol L'Kodesh. So he has no reason to assume that the Ner is invested with Kedusha. Okay. So the Gemara then comes to the conclusion, based on a statement of Rav Yosef, that Eino Chinami, Rav Yosef is going to answer Shmuel's question and justify the original statement of Rav Asi that you're not allowed to count your mos keneged Ner Chanukah. And that's based on a sugya in Kisi Adam. You remember that after you shecht an oaf, if you shecht a bird, then you have to cover the dam. So the Gemara says you can't use your left hand. Yeah, sorry, your left foot, right, to kick the. Or you can't use any foot actually, your right foot or your left foot. So this has to do with a certain quasi status of kedusha to a mitzvah. That the dam now becomes what we call a cheftish of mitzvah. It's almost an extension of shechita. Again, shechita here in this case is shechitas chulin, because in oaf we don't have shechitas kodesh, we only have malika. But in any event, without getting into all those issues, so Tosa says that this Rav Yosef over here, who doesn't allow you to count your mos lahartos mos of keneged Ner Chanukah, he also holds that hanira salolu osur lishtamesh lior. On. Now Tosa says the following. Okay, also lishtamesh lior. He says the following. V'chavsa ein zokaklo. We've been discussing Rav's chiddush l'chumra of asa l'shtamish li'oro, and we found many friends that Rav has in this context. We have Rav Yochanan, we have Rav Yosef, we have Abaye, the whole kit and caboodle. But Rav also has another chiddush here, and that's called chavsa ein zokaklo. That's why he qualifies all these inferior wicks for a chol of Chanukah, for the weekday of Chanukah. Do we pass in like Rav, even as far as the kula is concerned? The fact that you pass in like Rav l'chumra, which means that also l'shtamish li'ora, okay, that's one thing. But are you willing to go a step further and pass in like Rav l'kula, as far as kofsa ein zokaklo, which means basically if I light my Chanukah candles and it goes out, I don't have to rekindle the light, even though I'm within that half hour period of time. So Tosa says, Kofsa ein zokaklo. Why? Dekulu sviraluhochi. Here Rav is not a loner. Even Rav Chisda, if you recall, on the top of the page, ein zokaklo, the first three words on the page, he also maintained that Kofsa ein zokaklo. But now it's a little tricky. What does it mean, kulu sviraluhochi? Kulu sounds like it's a unanimous view. It's not a unanimous view. Who disagrees in Ols Kofsa zokaklo?
Rav Huna.
Oh, he says, Rav Huna yachid hu v'les hilchasa kabbos.
So we don't know anything like Rav Huna. Rav Huna's out totally. Nothing.
So it comes out that according to Tosfos, we have a double chumrah. I'm sorry. According to Rav Huna, we have a double chumrah, but we accept only one chumrah of Rav Huna, and that is that there's a Shabbos problem if you hold Mutal Ishtamish Liora. So that Shemayata we don't accept of Rav Huna. We're going to hold there's no Shemayata in the Chanukah because Asul Ishtamish Liora. And at the same time, even though Asul Ishtamish Liora is a Chumra in Hilkas Chanukah, but we're going to be Mekil in Hilkas Chanukah as far as the fundamental issue of Kavsa, and we're going to paskin like Rav. And basically, it's not just Rav, but Rav and Rav Chizda, that Kavsa ain Zokakla. In our language, if you remember back from almost a week ago, we said that the question in Ner Chanukah is whether the mitzvah is the Maisa Hadlaka or the Ner Dol.
Right.
So it seems like the halacha we're passing like the mitzvah is the Maisa Hadlaka, which is a Gevaldiga Kula, because it means. So Rashi had this whole discussion, the way the Beis Halevi and others interpret Rashi, that he has to stand over the Ner to make sure that it doesn't go out. Litakna, to make sure that it's Yafa. But now we're holding no Kofsa Ein Zaka clause. So from the perspective of Halach, again we have to look up in Shulchan Aruch, it would seem that you could light the Ner Chanukah and then just pack out, you know, go to work, and whatever happens, happens. You're not responsible for a Ner Doluk, you're only responsible for Hadlokos and Mitzvah. Again, if anyone has a Mishnah Mura, it would be great to see this inside. Okay. Fine. Trouble with me is I'm always too diplomatic. What I really meant to say was, could somebody have the effort? It's right behind this wall. I would do it too, but then I might lose Yehuda Singer on the Skype. My friend Yehuda from Mitzpeh Yericho is here. Yehuda, how are you? Just wave your hand so I know you can hear me. Okay, you're here. Okay. All right. So now we have a principle called Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. Have you ever heard of that principle? Hadlaka osa mitzvah means that once I light the candles, I fulfill the mitzvah. Lafuki, let's say a child would light the candles, or a non-Jew would light the candles, and I would place that candle outside my door, exactly on Chanukah, where it's supposed to be. That's called hanacha osa mitzvah. But we accept hadlaka osa mitzvah. So everything depends upon the hadlaka. Now, if everything depends upon the hadlaka, what would be your intuitive response to the question of kavsa? Would he be required to rekindle it? No, because if I block also mitzvah, then
how is that different from Maisa Hadlaka? Same idea, right?
I think so, because he listed the language of the Shulchan Aruch. If you want to make a note of it, this is Tof Reish Ayin Gimel Seif Beis. Okay, he says the following: Hadlaka osa mitzvah ulefichach im kavza. Ain't no Zakakla. You don't even have. There's nothing more explicit than this Shulchan Aruch to tie up the issue of Zakakla, ain't Zakakla, to the Maisag Lokka than this Shulchan Aruch. It's almost as if the Shulchan Aruch was sitting in the classroom here with us together, and he wanted to give us a Yashar Koyach and agree that if the mitzvah is not Lokka, then Kavsa ain't Zakakla. So imagine. You have a time period. We'll call it Misha Tishke Achama from Shkiyas Achama Shil Tichle Regel Menushuk. Let's call it a half hour. So during that half hour, what happens? What has to happen during that half hour? Oh, one way is to say you have to light it. The other way is to say it has to be lit. So are you operating with Maisag Loka or you're operating with Ner Dol? And the Shulchan Aruch says you're operating with a Maisa Hadlaka, so therefore his language is very meticulous, very, very crystal clear. He says Hadlaka osa mitzvah ulefichach im kavsa kodem sha'avar zmana. So in other words, let's say it goes out halfway through that half hour is ein zakakla. But here's the real question, Rav Osai. All this makes sense if you lit after Shkia. What happens if you lit before Shkia? And then it went out before nightfall. Do you follow me? So again, you could ask a general question, when is the earliest time you can light? I would encourage you to light after Shkia, but there's one night of Hanukkah where you definitely can't light after Shkia, and that's on Shabbos. So now imagine, it's a half hour before Shabbos, before Shkia. Let's say Shkia is at 5, and you lit at 4:30, and lo and behold, the wind blew out the candle at 4:45, and it's not even Shkia.
How can you make the bracha before Shkia?
it has to be that on Leil Shabbos they made a takana that the chiyuv mitzvah somehow is generated even before shkia. But I would still say that if you require ner daluk, maybe in this case you need more than a half hour, because if let's say it'll take 40 minutes to get to shkia, maybe the ner daluk has to be. Imagine it's the 24th of Kislev.
We're not operating on ner daluk. We're not operating.
No, I'm saying let's go according to this definition of ner daluk. So let's think out of the box, and then we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch. If I'm operating with ner daluk, then on Leil Shabbos, if I light the candle before shkia, as I always have to, then it's got to be daluk at least dip in to that period of time, misha tishkeh chama. Otherwise, it's not a ner daluk. You did a maisa luck with that ner daluk. Okay, fine. So then I would say that if it went out before shkia, then for sure you have to you're not yotze the mitzvah. You would have to rekindle it again if you still have time before shkia. But if I hold Maisad Laka, and the Chazal were Mesakin and Aleil Shabbos, my Maisad Laka obviously has to take place before Shkia, then can I apply the principle here of Kavsa Ein Zakik La, to the extent to which the Nair was not even dulled for one split second during that period of time from Shkia Sakhaman on? So you follow, there are three different levels here. There's one level called Nair Dulluk, and that would certainly require that the Nair at least dip in for a split second into that period of time after Shkia Sakhama. Therefore, on Leil Shabbos, everybody would have to agree Kofsa Zakakla if it didn't light into that period of time. And then I have the definition called Maisad Laka. Within Maisad Laka, I can offer two different definitions. One definition would be Maisad Laka whenever the Chazal established that you're chayev to implement the Maisa Hadlaka, that's it. You do the Maisa Hadlaka, and that's it, it's all over. There's another definition of Maisa Hadlaka. The Maisa Hadlaka has to be done during this period of time, or alternatively, at least you'd require an Ner Daluk during this period of time, so the Maisa Hadlaka is linked up to this period of time. When I say period of time, what I mean is Mishatishka Chama Ad Shetichla Regel V'Nashuk. So how far are we going to go with Maisad Laka? If we go all the way with Maisad Laka to the finish line, then I would say the following. If you lit on Shabbos at 4:30 and it went out at 4:45, you yotze the mitzvah. That would be the most extreme formulation of Maisad Laka. You have zero ner daluk. Absolute zero ner daluk. Because ner daluk is only during the period of time when there's pirsa vanes, you know, from shkia sakha. So listen to the next line in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Afilu kofsa v'erev Shabbos, kodem kabbalas Shabbos, v'adayin hu mib'od yom." Again, there are a lot of extra words in the Shulchan Aruch that have to be analyzed. Eino zakaklo. And if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, he says that there are many opinions that disagree. Ayin b'tas shecholik alzeh.
No,
he says the chayev lahadlikim, and it's unbelievable. The Mishnah Berurah is so impressed with the taz that he says that because of this taz, he should rekindle it, but without a bracha. Mm-hmm. Now imagine if it's during the week.
In general, you wouldn't make another bracha anyhow.
No,
according to the taz, you'd have to make another bracha.
Why?
Again,
well, because it wasn't
the Mishnah Berurah is in a bind, so to speak. He's got the Shulchan Aruch on the one hand and the Taz on the other hand. The Shulchan Aruch would say that he was yotze in the mitzvah at 4:30, a half hour before Shkia.
Right.
The Taz says he's not yotze unless it's lit beyond Shkia. So it went out at 4:45. The Taz says you have to make a bracha again and rekindle it. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't know. Do we pass like the Shulchan Aruch? Do we pass like the Taz? So he's going to say you have to rekindle it because of the Taz, or without a bracha. Again, it's very, a very heavy issue here. That's why Erev Shabbos got to make sure you got a lot of oil there on Erev Shabbos.
What's the site on the Shulchan Aruch?
Yeah, it's the same site that I mentioned before. Tuf Reish Ayin Gimel Seif Beis. That's 400. I'm sorry, Kuf Reish. That's 674.
It's three. Ayin Gimel.
Oh, I'm sorry, 73. Yeah. Yeah, on the top it says Tuf Reish Ayin Dal because they're both on the same page. In any event, Rabosai, this is a heavy issue.
Would not be totally just on the wick going out, but if you need to add more water or a different yamra, you still wouldn't make another problem.
So what's the case exactly? We're talking about Erev Shabbos or in general?
Erev Shabbos.
Erev Shabbos, he lit it at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what happens? Now it goes out or it's a little bit flickering? You say?
Well, you said it goes out.
It went out. Okay, so now ready for your question.
So as the Taz says, as Mishnah Berurah says, rekindle without a bracha.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if you needed to add more oil, or you needed to a different menorah,
I see what you're saying. You're saying like this: that if I rekindle it
on the wick, or is it?
According to the Taz, right, we're being machmir now for the Taz, and we're telling you, we're going to instruct you to rekindle it. It's got to last and dip into Shkia.
Yeah.
So when you say add oil, I have to ask myself the following question. Do I have enough oil in this menorah to last, let's say in our case, another 15.1 minutes, if you find me? Got to go into Shkia.
Right, so again, my question is, that making another bracha according to Mishnah Berurah, is it just a factor of the wick going out, or it wouldn't matter if you need to add more oil?
I'm lost from it. What I'm saying is the following: Will it be lit after Shkir? Wick, yeah. oil, wick. I don't care. Whatever you need to put in there to guarantee.
The light falls off the table, so you got to set it back up again.
Right.
You still got to set it up and say a bracha and light it according to Taz.
So it's in Taz.
Yeah. Taz. The Mishnah is not going to go as far as accepting the Taz libracha because the Shulchan Aruch would say you were yotzer. Okay then. So that's interesting.
What happened to the half an hour?
Very difficult.
You just say 1 minute. I mean, how are you?
Because even the Taz agrees that you
that
ain't Zuckerberg, but the Taz holds that you have to create something that you know has the potential. Well, wait, it's complicated. According to Shulchan Aruch, since there was potential to last into. Well, let's say it like this. According to Shulchan Aruch, there doesn't even have to be potential. All you need is a shear of oil, of shemen, which again we'll have to see exactly what that shear is.
That is potential.
Right?
Potential.
But again, I don't need the potential that this particular oil will last and will be lit during that half an hour. All I need is that there's enough of a volume of oil that could last for a half hour. But it means that I don't have to have enough oil to guarantee that it'll last past Shkia. I mean, that would be true on the rest of Chanukah, but not on Leil Shabbos. On Leil Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, we need a Maisad Loka. So we're going to have to figure out what the shear of Maisad Loka. Let's say it's Plaga Mincha. Let's for argument's sake. Right? So after Plaga Mincha, I still have an hour and a quarter till Shkia, and I only have a half hour's worth of oil. The Shulchan Aruch says I was yield to the mitzvah. Notice, once you establish Zman HaChiyuv, then once you have the shear of oil, is Hadloka Osa Mitzvah. You do a Maisad Loka, you fulfill your Chiyuv. I don't care whether or not there's an Ner Dol. Comes along the Taz and he says, "Name, your chiyuv is the Maisad Loka, but you have to take a Maisad Loka and know that this Maisad Loka could terminate in a Ner Dolk. Ner Dolk means not Dolk in the most extreme sense. The Ner Dolk in the most extreme sense means it has to be Dolk for the entire period of time. That's called Kofsa Zakakla. That the Taz is not saying. The Taz is saying I accept Kovsa Ein Zakakla, but I need to create a Ner Chanukah. If it goes out before Shkia and there's no Ner Dolk at all, I didn't create a Ner Chanukah. That would be like the following case. Let's say, according to the Taz, there's a wind before I even light. Any night of Chanukah. I'm not talking about Leil Shabbos. Then I light the Nair in such a way that it immediately it's going to go out. It'll last for a fraction of a second. So the Taz would say that's not called a Maisad Luck. Because the Maisad Luck has to lend itself to creating a Nair Dolk. You know, it's here the Nair Dolk is not a shear. It's not a definition in how long it has to be lit, but how much lit Oh, I don't know. My English here is going on me. How much of a lit candle do you need to have in order to make it into a Maisa Hadlaka?
And how much do you need?
1 second into that period of time from Shkia Sakha.
1 second, and that's an Eir Dalak.
And that's an Eir Dalak. Once it became an Eir Dalak, then you were Yotze with the Maisa Hadlaka. Because again, the Ner Dalak here is not a halacha in Chovas Ner Chanukah, it's a halacha in the Maisa Hadlaka.
I thought you just said they're two completely different things. One's a Maisa Hadlaka and one is the Ner Dalak. Now you're saying they're the same.
Correct.
Thing.
That's why I'm telling you that there are three approaches here. There's one approach which is called Ner Dalak. There's another approach which is called Maisa Hadlaka.
Yeah.
Ner Dalak is Kovsa Zakakla. And the Shulchan Aruch says, no, we paskin Maisa Hadlaka. That's clear as day. That's black and white. Two polar extremes. Comes along the Taz with a middle shita. And he says there's another halakh of Ner Dalak. Bless him. And that means even though the chiyuv of Ner Chanukah, your obligation, is the Maisa Hadlaka, but we still need a Ner Dalak. Not in the sense of Ner Dalak, that your obligation is to make it into Dalak, because if it was a Ner Dalak, as we said before, it has to be Dalak for that half hour. But you need that it be Dalak for 1 second into that half hour. And once it's Dalak for 1 second into that half hour, now we can define your Maisa Hadlaka as such. Says the Taz, on Erev Shabbos we have a real challenge. Why? Because even if I apply the principle of Maisa Hadlaka, I need an Eir Dalak. If it's not an Eir Dalak at all, if it's completely zero, devoid of Eir Dalak, then there's no Maisa Hadlaka. It's like the case of the wind, where immediately as I light the candle, it goes out. It doesn't have any lasting power whatsoever. So the lasting power of the Taz has to dip into Shkia. So if the candle on Erev Shabbos goes out before Shkia, I have to rekindle the light. And according to the Taz, with the Brach. And that has nothing to do with Kofsa Zakakla and Kofsa Ein Zakakla. Because even though we're holding Kofsa Ein Zakakla, there's no din that it has to be Daluk for a full half hour, but I need at least some connection, some overlap between the Daluk and this period of time called the half hour. That's the Taz's middle of the approach. You see, we used to seeing things black and white. The Taz is not, he's not playing ball with us. You know, he's on a different turf. He's coming up with a definition which combines to some extent both Maisa Hadlaka and Ner Dalak.
Who is the Taz?
The Taz lived 4.5 centuries ago. His name is Rabbeinu David, and he was a Rav in many different cities, amongst them in Brisk. His father-in-law was a Rav in Brisk. He was the Bach. And the Taz was married to the Bach's daughter. She died. And she had a younger sister. And the Taz wanted to marry the younger sister. And the Bach would not agree to that marriage.
No.
There's a lot of some things I can't say now because unfortunately the tape record is going. I'll put it off for a second. I'll tell you.
The Taz does hold some variation of Kutzel's up the flow.
But it's only one case. Kofsa Zakakla Kofsa Taz applies in one case. Here's the scenario. You lit on Erev Shabbos before Shkia and went out before Shkia. Then it's Kofsa Zakakla.
Because once
that's
you,
the only
once
one
you light after Shkia, it automatically is
a Maisa Hadlaka. It's an Eir Dalak.
It's an Eir Dalak.
That's it.
By definition.
Again, Eir Dalak only as a measurement of the definition of a Maisa Hadlaka. Not as a separate din of Eir Dalak. That would be Kofsa Zakakla. Alright. So now the Gemara asks the following question.
Yeah. Who are the arguments between the Bach and the
Bach and the Taz? In your day, I'm saying they very often disagree.
Did you want to put the tape back on?
Yeah, it's okay now.
The making of a gadol is of the.
The making of a gadol is a biography of Rav Nosson Kamenetsky's father, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, but in that biography he talks about many, many of his father's friends, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva.
Neither one of those two is the Bach or the Taz.
Yeah, they lived 4.5 centuries ago. Right. You know, let's not confuse Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky with... Okay. So the Gemara now asks the following question. Do you remember this Gemara? Viraminu. Okay, the first word in the line that we want to look at is mitzvasa. It's right below Tosis de'i. I just want to make sure everyone's on the page. You have Tosis de'i? Mm-hmm. De'i. This is Tosis de'i. Because I generally use Tosis as a bookmark, or whatever the word is. So right below that Tosis, you'll see a line that starts mitzvasa, and this is a braisa that says that mitzvasa mishetishka kama shetichle regim and ashur. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that I have to keep it going, which means ner dolik, or does that mean that that's only the, that I can only light the ma'isad loka within that period of time? My love, the Gemara initially thinks that what this means, the thrust of this price is the kovsa hadar madlik law, that if it goes out, I have to rekindle it because it has to be lit for that period of time from shkia all the way shetichla and regim and ashur. Lo, the Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. The ilo adlik madlik, that within that period of time you have a zman chiyuv hadloka. After that period of time, you don't have chiyuv hadloka, and that's what Tosfos points out in Dira Maskel Di'ia. Well, mikan v'elich over a zman, which means that if it's after tichla regim and ashur. Again, we're talking about during the period of time historically when they lit outside the house. That historical period ended and we started lighting inside the house. But going back in the time machine, then there's no point to light outside your house after Avar Zmano, after Tichla Regel Ben Ashur, because no one's left in the marketplace to see your Ner Chanuk. But then the Gemara says, V'inami, I have another interpretation of this price, which can also square off with the Man Yomar who says, Kovsa Ein Zakar Klor. And that is l'shiura. It means it's a din in the shear of ner. How much of a minimum volume do you require for the ner, of ner Chanukah? It's got to be able to last for that period of time. But it doesn't have to actually last during that period of time. Because we're holding now kovsa ein zochik lo. So Tosis says, getting back to Tosis de'i, mikan v'yelech over zman. According to the first answer of the Gemara, if lo adlik madlik, you can only be madlik within that period of time. Mikan v'elach, after this period of time, you can't be madlik. But Omer Hari Parat is one of the Bali Atosus. The yesh lizar lahadlik b'layla miyad. As soon as nightfall takes place, you should immediately light the ner chanuk. Shlo yacher yosem midai. To be careful that this period of time of shetichla regim and ashuk, which is only a half hour after nightfall, shouldn't pass by. But Mikomakom, nevertheless, in Icher, in a B'dievet situation, he was late. Is Yadlik Misofik? There is a chance that he could fulfill the mitzvah even after Tichla Regim and Ashuk. Why?
Sofik is what? That there still might be people?
No. The Sofik is, do we pass in like the first answer of the Gemara or the second answer of the Gemara? That's Tosus' Sofik. Let's read the next few words. Tosus says, Yadlik Misofik, Da Meshani Shinuye Achrina. Because the Gemara gives a second answer. Now, what Tosis is postulating is that there's a fundamental machlokas between the first answer of the Gemara and the second answer of the Gemara. As to how to interpret this braisa, the braisa says, Mishetishka chama, shetichla regim and ashuk. The first answer of the Gemara understood that you have to light the candles within that period of time. So let's say, for example, shkia is at 5, tichla regim and ashuk is at 5:30. After 5:30, finito. Ball game over, it's too late. That's the first interpretation of the braisa. But then the Gemara says, inami lishiura. And inami lishiura means that you don't have to light within that period of time. You only have to give enough oil in the candle that it could last for that period of time. But it doesn't have to actually be lit in that period of time. So Tosa says that now, if that period of time passed, What should we do? If we accept the first teretz of the Gemara, fafalim, it's gone, it's too late. But if we accept the second teretz of the Gemara, l'shiura, then you can light even after tichla regim l'shiura, as long as you have the shear of the ner of a half hour's worth of volume. So my impression is that according to Tosfos, after the period of time of, let's say after 5:30, you would light without a bracha, because Tosfos says we don't know if we pass like the first opinion in the Gemara or like the second opinion in the Gemara. The first opinion in the Gemara says that you have to light within that period of time. He doesn't mention Erev Shabbos, by the way. You know, if I was writing a footnote on Tosfos, I would say, with the exclusion of Erev Shabbos, no one is going to tell me that I should light Mishutishka Kama on Leil Shabbos. That's impossible. But at least during the days of Chol, I shouldn't light before Shkia Sakhama, but I should light immediately after Shkia Sakhama to make sure that I don't delay it past that half hour period of time of Tichla Regel Ben Ashur. But if I hold like the second answer of the Gemara, Inami L'Shiura, then I'm not required to light during that period of time. And therefore, B'dievet, if you were late, you should still light. Ulari Nira, this is another Balei Tosfos, And he says the at in our time ain't lachish. We don't have to worry about the being so rushed about it. You know, don't be so
machmir.
You know, to light immediately masayadik when you light the anu for us ain't lanu hakera el lebnei abayis. Our interest here is for the bnei abayis. Sharei madlika bifnim mi bifnim, because we light on the inside of the house.
The family.
For the family, like the heker and the pirsum is for the members of the family, and the members of the family clearly are available after 5:30 in the evening. So you don't have to be so meticulous about it, says the Ri. Now I'm not sure if the Ri is disagreeing with the first opinion or he's adding on a piece, and he's saying, yeah, I agree with everything that was said here in the name of the Ri Parat, but that's only in Zmaneim when they used to light on the outside of the house. But in our time, when we light on the inside of the house, we don't have to worry about the time period and make sure we urgently light with Shkia.
So now in Eretz Yisrael, most people now light outside.
So do we go back to the original?
Yeah.
Very important question. Very important. And in the poskim, you'll find that the poskim seem to indicate that even though we go back to the original minog, but we've already gained all the dinim that were established during that middle historical period of time. In other words, once they made a takana that you could light inside, that takana remains forever and ever. Even if the minog would be to be machmir and light outside the house, but that's a very nice thing to do, and obviously that's what we're going to tell you to do if you ask us, but it doesn't mean that all the dinim of lighting for the Bnei Abayis are gone. So for example, Halacha L'maisa, again we have to look in Shulchan Aruch, but I'm just saying, Halacha L'maisa, if today in Eretz Yisrael I come back too late, you know, again, you know, the Brisker Rav used to say, well, it depends when the last movie is over, you know, but let's say I'm in a kibbutz or I'm in a moshav, I live in a small village, and after 10 o'clock there's no one out there. So in that case, even in Eretz Yisrael, we would light inside. Meaning that Achetichle Regem and Ashuk was replaced by Bnei Abayis. Again, we'll have a whole other issue about Bnei Abayis, exactly what that means. But whatever it means, let's just use it as a general term, Bnei Abayis. So if I have Bnei Abayis, even Bisman Hazeh, that we have a minig to light outside, we could be Yotzei the mitzvah Ner Chanukah for the Bnei Abayis. So our minig, even though it seems to duplicate what the original halacha was, it doesn't replace or undermine these halachas of Bnei Abayis.
Except that if he's outside, Bnei Abayis can't see it.
So on the contrary, in this case, let's say you live in a village, you're going to want to maximize your pirsum hanes. If it's 10 o'clock at night and no one is out there in the streets, you're going to light on the inside. You're not going to light on the outside. But let's say you're in a city and for whatever reason you have to light on the inside. So then if it's possible that you can achieve a greater pirsum hanes on the outside, we're going to tell you to... In other words, now that we have this new takana that you can be yotzei with bnei abayis, every situation is going to have to be analyzed. Where do I maximize my pirsum hanes? Very tricky halachas. It gets very sticky because what if my bnei abayis are sleeping? Do I wake them up? You remember we mentioned this once. You know, very, very difficult issue.
When my daughters got married during Hanukkah, and my other son-in-law, Israel, told him to light in the wedding hall, and I said, "Light when we get back home."
Yeah. Wait. Who were they talking to? They were talking to the chasen kal, or they talking to you? You and the rest of the people.
We made the wedding.
Right. So they weren't talking to the chassan. You see, the chassan.
The chassan, they're
going to a hotel.
They looked at it. But my other son in law asked his brother, and he said, light in the wedding hall. So
light in the wedding hall?
Yeah.
Was he a Lubavitcher?
No.
Because Lubavitcher into the wedding halls, you know. But most poskim would say you should light in your house. Because
right.
It's there you should base it. Even though you're forfeiting the Mishnah Tichle, Ach Tichle Regimen, you know, it's a juggling situation.
Isn't that Pesum Menes? You light in the wedding hall because it's Pesum Menes.
Right, but you need
a
box. I'll give you an example. Rashi later on in Dafchav Gimel addresses the following question. Gemara says that if you don't have a Ner Chanukah, but you see someone else's Ner Chanukah, then you make a bracha she'asa nisim lavosim. You can't make lahadli because you don't have your own Ner Chanukah. So Rashi looks for an example of someone who doesn't have an erchan.
Traveling.
Oh, exactly. Beautiful. So Rashi says he's a holit b'sfina. Now imagine what happens. You're on a ship and you have no possibility of lighting, but the ship gets close to the shore and you see what we call in Yiddish yenem's candle, somebody else's candle. So the Rashi says that that's what the Gemara means, that he makes the bracha shasa nisim lavo sim. So you and I, if I would ask you the question in the year, what are we up to, 2018, right? If I would ask you, why isn't he lighting a candle on the ship? You and I would say, well, they won't let him, right? Security reasons. But that's not what Rashi has in mind. Rashi has in mind that the reason why he can't light on the ship is because it's not a bais. A ship is movable. It's mobile. To those who were with me during Elul, we spoke about a sukkah that's mobile, right? A sukkah al gavi hagola, you know, a Lubavitcher sukkah that moves on wheels. So what about a ner chanuk on wheels?
You see them.
So again, Lubavitch has their own, they have their own postkin. But I'm saying for most of the, don't take me wrong, I don't mean that as a pejorative comment, but for most of our classical kind of postkin, a menorah on wheels is not a bais. and by the way, Michael, I don't know, you'll tell me if in London you have the same thing, but in Washington D.C., you know, the one of the most famous candle lightings is outside on the lawn of the White House.
Yeah, they have the menorah.
So again, Lubavitch might make a bracha on that. I don't know. You have to check your local Lubavitcher rebbe, your rabbi, your shliach. But the postman will say you can't make a bracha because the White House is not a bais, and the lawn of the White House is not Pesach Beisim. You need a bais. That's why the Ulam Smachot is very problematic. Now, if he would have said to the Chassan that he should light in the wedding hall, could be, again, this is very iffy, that the wedding hall for the Chassan is a bais. I'll tell you why.
Light under the chuppah.
Yeah, maybe up to the roof. Yeah, like a minus, right? It's got a roof. It's got it's a house with a roof, right? Yeah. So that's it. You know, it could be. Again, it's very complicated, but there is a sheep, and it's based on the Rambam that the chassan has to own the wedding hall. Now, what does that mean? He owns the wedding hall? Yeah. He doesn't own the wedding hall, right? He's paying rent for the wedding hall. But it could be that rental in halacha gives you ownership. And the reason why we want the chassan to have ownership is because the Rambam holds that chuppah is yichud b'toch beisam. That's the Rambam's language. Again, most of the Rishonim don't accept this, but the Rambam has a unique shita that basically chuppah is lachnisa lebeisam. But what do you mean lebeso? He hasn't brought her into the bias. So what is the yichud? So others say that the canopy is the yichud. That's his bias. But the Rambam seems to assume that it's got to be his house. So there, again, you might find, if you ever come across somebody who, in the contract, you know, he makes sure to write that he has a certain quasi-ownership or a partial ownership. So it could be that might have enough kavina as far as Ner Chanukah is concerned. That maybe the chassan, insofar as he needs the beso for yichud, like niso the beso, he could also light Ner Chanukah there, according to the classical posting.
You told the story. You say that rental is like ownership. You told that story of the guy who built a sukkah on the roof with all the rubble, and he found something there, and he went to base in, and there's some guys, and they passed him that he was entitled to because he was renting it, and it was his ownership.
Correct. So, and the Gemara in Pesachim, which Amitza will learn in a few months, says that if you rent a house, you're chayv in bedika. Because bedika is a chomus bias, and schirus is kanyo. You know, schirus, which is rental, is a kind of kin. So Rabbo said, what we accomplished today is two tosis. We accomplished, number one, the tosis di ramaskal u'mutul ishtamish di'ora, and we accomplished the tosis of di'ilo adlik madli. So what I'd like to accomplish tomorrow, Bli Neder, is number one, to take this tosis di'ilo madlik and look into the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll see what we can get out of that on the halachic end. And number two, I want to start the sugya. It's a very profound sugya of mahadrin, mina mahadrin, Minamaj, right? All the Beis Hillel, Beit Shammai. That's our agenda, Bli Neder, for tomorrow. Okay, then? Yeah. Shakala. So Reuven, what did actually you do as far as Ner Chanukah when your daughter, as your daughter got married? What did you finally decide after all these complications or different people did different
things? We lived very late.
We got home. Right. So you were Pierce and Nessa Bay
Abai. My son-in-law on the way. He asked his right, not the one that got married, but
the other son.
He said, well, I know all.
So that's what he did?
Yeah.
Did they like clap up and tish? They got everyone quiet and he lived publicly, so to speak? No, he did it private somehow. Did he have to okay that with the owner of the hall? You know, like to bring his Chanukiah and wife?
I don't know.
So on ships, for example, they won't let your wife. I don't
know.
We don't know. We'll know in about a month.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shift. Okay then?
This was in Carlton.
Yeah? How long ago was this? Oh, it's pretty recent.
2 years ago. 2 years ago.
If you can do some more research and find out for me, you know, what your other son-in-law's Rav was...
If he, I'll ask.
Yeah,
I know who Rav is. I mean, it's a...
Well, you know he is, so I don't know if there's email or whatever, you can find out. Again, in Lubavitch, they're very into this whole idea of light in any public place.
But,
right, and now with that, you're telling me they didn't even get choir, it wasn't the decorum there for me.
I was kind of surprised.
I would have thought that
not going to second guess.
Right. I would have thought the Chabad rabbi would say, make sure everyone's quiet and then they should all participate in one public hadlok.
What time? Next class?
Next class is at 11:45. Okay then? 11:45.
So, it turns out.
This one, Alan, would he be coming today early or he has?
Alan?
Yeah.
Let me try to find out.